As we begin our study this morning, just would remind you of a thought from last week, which is important for us to remember, and that is our intentions with the Word of God reveals our interest in the person of God. It's so important to understand that when we come to the sermon, the teaching, whatever you want to call it, it's not to be focused on the presenter. It's to be focused on the author of the words that we're studying. And so our intentions with God's Word reveals a lot about our interest in the person of God. And so we want to reveal our humble reverence for the person of God, because it is His Word. And so with that in our minds, we look at Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And I'd like to share the second thought with you this morning. The circumstances that Jonah was in helped him understand the distance he was from God. Now, we know that God is not geographical. Jonah believed that God was a geographical God, that he only was in the confines of the state, the geographic state of Israel. We know that's not true, but that's what Jonah wanted to believe, because it allowed him an escape from God if he wanted to opt for that. It's amazing how many of us carry a veto card in our Bible. That if there's something we don't like, we just hold up a veto card and say, you know, God, I'm not agreeing with you on this. I don't like that. I don't want that. And we think somehow we can escape God. That's what Jonah was doing. It's very simple. He was running away from God. And he thought by going to Spain, western side of Spain, that he could get away from God. Can't do that. Psalm 136, where can I go from the presence of the Lord? Nowhere. He's everywhere. And so we don't want to try to escape him this morning as we study. But we want to think about our circumstances and see if we can't gain insight into where we are in our spiritual distance from God in our hearts. And that's what God was going to lead Jonah through. He was going to help Jonah understand how far he was from God in his heart, how much he'd closed his heart off from God, closed up his ears from listening to God. So that then God, now listen, so that God could show him mercy. God isn't going to be mean to Jonah. God is going to be merciful to Jonah. And just because God allowed Jonah to run into trouble does not mean that God was being mean to him. God was being very merciful. Because the first step in reconciliation with God is to understand how irretrievable you are under your own power. We have nothing that we can use in and of ourselves to help ourselves eternally. And the sooner we learn that, the better it will be. That in and of myself, though our culture tries to tell us, look for that inner power in you, there is nothing good there, so stop looking. You look to God. There's where the power's at. There's where the love's really at. Go to Him. Don't rely on yourself. It's going to take Jonah a while to figure that one out. And we're going to read about some of those things this morning. And so as we read, let's understand that the person of God allows things to happen so that He can turn us from the way we're going away from Him and draw us close back to Him. If we're willing. if we're willing. So this is not something where we're going to see that God's just so mad at Jonah, he wants to beat him with something. God is just being merciful, and we need to allow that in our life as well. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." God's going to warn them too. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish, that's actually Spain, west side of Spain, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He obviously knew about Tarshish. Maybe read some stories about Tarshish. Maybe thought they had a great beach in Tarshish. Maybe thought there was wonderful people in Tarshish. Somehow, he figured out that's the place to be. So he paid the fare. Our decisions always cost us something, don't they? Went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship was threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. It's interesting how each of us have something that we want to turn to when we're in trouble. That is our God. Doesn't matter what it looks like. It can be an automobile, it can be a house, it can be a person, it can be a bank account, but it's a thing, but it is our God. And all of us have one. For we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. Notice that when we get in trouble, we turn to something we think is greater than us in order to help us. Let's just be honest about it. We all know that we don't have in us what is necessary to make life work. Only God. But let's be honest, and we all turn to something. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. I wonder if they threw over what Jonah had taken for his journey. He didn't know how long he was going to be there. He might have been moving for good. And they threw his stuff over too. It's amazing how much we lose when we don't trust God. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. We seem so safe and secure when we look to our God for safety. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give us thought to us that we may not perish." They assumed that Jonah had a God too. Now the Lord was the one who hurled the tempest on the sea, was he not? So can we conclude from that God does sometimes cause bad things to happen in order to wake up a sleeping human? Can we safely say that? But here's also something we can say. God will allow and use bad circumstances to turn us around. Wake us up and turn us around. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each has turned into his own way. We all have something we turn to. God does not intend for us to destroy ourselves. And He will allow or create bad circumstances and foist them on us in order to wake us up and turn us from whatever we're trusting in addition to Him. Most Christians would say, I trust in the Lord. Right? You trust in the Lord. What we have more difficulty seeing is what else we're trusting in addition to the Lord. And God intends to strike at that. Now, as these circumstances come, we're in a situation just like Jonah, where God is going to ask Jonah, in his circumstances, to consider three struggles that are going on. And we can see that in our text. Here's the three struggles that Jonah faced and we all face. Who is going to be God? Who is going to be God? Now, it's clear from our text that Jonah knew who God was and that he had actually heard the word of God. It's difficult to understand how someone can actually hear God speak to them and he still wants to get out of Dodge. He wants to dodge God. So Jonah was in the process of deciding who his God was going to be. Now, if indeed Jonah has a veto card, who is the most likely choice for him to choose as God if he doesn't want the real God? Who would it be? It would be himself. I want me to be in charge. You go ahead and speak, God, but I'll decide whether or not I'm going to listen, what I'm going to do with that, where I'm going to go, when I'm going to go there, what I'm going to do when I get there, and how long I'm going to stay. That's what Jonah was saying. I will be God. And you say, well, I don't do that. Dear ones, you decided who was going to be God when you decided what to give this morning at church. We don't even think about it. We decide whether to give or whether not to give, how much not to give. We make all those decisions as if the decision is ours to make. The decision is God's to make. We decide every day who's going to be God by listening to our own thoughts. God intends for us to make Him God in everything. Weren't we reminded this morning from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17? And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all for the glory of God, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. In everything we do. The kids have been helping us with a little renovation at our house, and the boys were there, and I'm so proud of this, and I hope you'll allow me to be proud, but we have three construction companies in our family, just in our kids. It's quite amazing, really, and we have a prospect of a fourth in the future. It's just quite amazing. Anyway, I'm watching, and I asked Ben and Phil, I said, okay, what do you want me to do today? Because a lot of the work was done yesterday. And Ben said, he was the first one to speak up, and he says, Dad, get you a chair, sit in the lawn, be quiet and watch. Okay, I can do that. But I got up where they were working, and I was watching Ben and Phil. They were both on ladders, and Ben about fell off of his, and Phil looked at me and said, no, there's not going to be any choice words, Dad. But it's interesting, even in our speech, we decide who's God. What we say, whether it's just venting our own feelings or we're actually speaking words of silver in settings of gold. words that are gracious for the building up of others according to their need, that it might benefit those who listen. We decide so many things in a day we don't even think about, where we're saying to God, well, I'm going to be God. I don't want you to be God in this circumstance. We are just like Jonah, and we're constantly deciding who God is. Second, Jonah was struggling, and this follows, who's going to be God? Who is going to guard me? Who is going to guard me? Not only who God is, but who's going to guard me? Jonah was able to be fast asleep in the belly of the boat because he believed that the mariners were going to guard him. Think about that. Now, I realize, only because I've seen pictures of it, I've never been there, but I guess the Mediterranean is a pleasant place to be. How many have been to the Mediterranean and enjoyed some of the beaches there, whatever? I guess it's very pleasant. I've seen pictures, never been there. I would assume that Jonah thought by paying money to get into that boat that the people who owned the boat and controlled the boat would get him safely to Spain. And so he was secure because he had placed trust in the mariners to guard his life. Now, how does that work out when a tempest is so great because God has hurled it on the sea? Now, I don't know what a storm is like on a Mediterranean. I'm sure it's different than that on the Atlantic or the Pacific, but I imagine it can be quite a dust-up. He had trusted people to guard his life. And so do we. If I just could get married to that person, if that person would just be this type of person, if they would just do this for me, then I'm going to feel better. Well, you got the wrong God. Because God, the God, when it comes time to be with a human being, grabs the basin, the pitcher of water, and the towel, and he washes feet. He's not looking to get something from somebody else. He's looking to give something to someone else. He's not asking human beings to guard his life. He's asking if he can be the one who serves their need. So even in our living, we can demonstrate that we want humans to guard us. And that follows. Finally, Jonah struggled with who was going to guarantee his success in his voyage. He chose a God other than God, the Father. He chose those people to guard him, and so he was trusting that they could guarantee success in his life. That's the reason he paid him money. It's making an investment. I'll give you money, you get me safely to Spain, guarantee my success and my pleasure. Now we're good to go. Jonah struggled with all three of those things. But God did not throw him away. And so just because we can struggle with those three things does not mean that God throws us away. It just provides us an opportunity to watch God demonstrate his love in drawing us back. And so our circumstances remind us, who's going to be God? Who's going to guard us? And who's going to guarantee my future? Only the God of the Bible does that. No other substitute will do. So let's learn a lesson. Just because you're struggling with God being God and trusting Him to guard and guarantee everything in your life, just because you struggle with that does not mean that God rejects you. God did not reject Jonah. God rescued Jonah. Think of this. How big was the fish? Do we know how big the fish was? Big enough to swallow a man. Whole. Didn't have to chew him up. He just sucked him in. Big fish. How old was the fish? Anybody got an idea how old the fish was? Did the fish have to grow a little bit from the time of its inception to be big enough to swallow a man? Well, yeah. Well, who fed that fish? Who kept that fish alive? We're not talking about biology, brethren. We're talking about theology here. God made the fish. Now you say, no, wait a minute. So God made the fish. He made it grow. He kept predators away from that fish. Yeah, He did. And He made that fish grow to the size that it could swallow a man. Yeah, well, why in the world? Okay, I think the airport to Baghdad was closed. There's nobody going to Mosul, brethren, which is Nineveh. No planes going. The fish was the fastest route to where God wanted him to go. Now, you can read in chapter 2 what it was like being in the belly of the fish. I just can't imagine what the digestive fluids were like. Let's forget about the vomiting. Can you imagine the smell? Oh, I wonder what else the big fish ate just before he ate Jonah. But it beat the floor of the Mediterranean Sea. So, Lord, I'm thankful you gave me a place to breathe so I could pray and I could seek, as chapter 2 says, the mercy of the Lord. Now, we might think when bad things happen that, okay, where's God? Same place He's always been. In a place of mercy, in a place of retrieval, of a place of redemption, of a place of reconciliation. God hasn't moved anywhere. He's just inviting us into His life. So the fish swallows Jonah. Jonah gets a grip. Fish spits him up where he should have been to begin with. He travels to Nineveh. He does what he's supposed to do. And God saves over 100,000 people in 3 days. That is an amazing reality. So when the difficulties come to you, it doesn't mean that God's being mean to you. He's being merciful to you. Now, young ones, please listen. By the time you get to be as old as me, if God should allow you to live that long, you will be able to look back over your life and you'll be able to see all of the times that God was merciful when He could have been mean. And what happened to me was not His being mean, it was His being merciful to me. I have made some poor choices in my life, as you will make. But when you get to be my age, you'll look back and see, God does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor repay us according to our iniquity. But as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. and as far as the east is from the west, so far will He remove our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord will have compassion on those who fear Him. The Lord reminded me just this week, if you, He uses Scripture a lot, if you, though evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so would the Lord give good gifts to those He loves? So, Lord, are You calling me evil? Mm-hmm. And yet You give good gifts to Your children? Yep. How much more so a perfect father gives good gifts to his children? So if you think God is frowning at you and He's got it in for you because you're this high instead of this high, or you can't play with a little round ball just right, if you think God is being mean to you, understand, He's being merciful. He is reconciling you to Himself. He is drawing you close. So here's what you want to remember, young ones, and older ones too. All our circumstances are either allowed or caused by God and used by Him to draw us to Christ. When Jonah finally realized the inability to help himself, what did he do? When he's in the fish, what did he do? Why did he pray? Because he needed help. And he finally, in the belly of a fish, humbled himself and said, "Oh Lord, I need You." I don't think we should wait until we're in the belly of the fish before we humble ourselves and say, "Lord, help." I think we should use today. Bad as our life might be, being a little bit facetious, as bad as it might be, thank You, Lord, for being so merciful to me, a sinner. Please help. And He will. Because that's what God does. That's who God is. And you can be pretending that you're in charge of your life, but I can tell you, you're not. And you can feel like life is so poor for you, but I can tell you, it can get much worse. God is just being merciful. So let Him show mercy. And humble yourself and allow Him to reconcile you to Himself. There isn't anybody here that doesn't need a huge dose of forgiveness today. And you're going to need another healthy dose tomorrow. I can guarantee you that. And you're going to need it next week and next month and next year and next decade. And who knows, you might even make next century. You're going to need all of God's mercy. So just ask Him to allow you to humbly be in His life. For that's the only guaranteed safe place. Now and in eternity. Won't you turn to Him? Won't you stop trying to be God and let Him be God? Let the world go. It doesn't have anything for us. John, I appreciate the choice of... Is John here? The choice of songs. Number 16. I don't know if you noticed as we went through, but the Lord was writing His message this morning. Thank you for reminding us of that, Tom. Look at verse number 3. Tell me the same old story. And that's all I've done this morning, just tell you the same old story. You all know. Any one of you could have preached this morning. Tell me the same old story. When you have cause to fear, that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Can you write in Jonah's name there? The world promises much, but it gives little. Yes, and when that world's glory is dawning on my soul, that means how bad it is, tell me the old, old story. Christ Jesus makes me whole. Better to be humble and saved than haughty and lost. Dear Father, thank you for the chance today to be humble before you. And in an account of what to some of us seems like a child's story, please renew our faith. Help us reach out for you, our only hope. Help us realize the truth that you've written for us, that Paul preached in Athens. That you decide where we're going to live, where we're going to be born. You decide who our parents are going to be. You decide how big we're going to be, the color of our hair, how soon the hair will fall out, color of our eyes, tone of our skin, who our siblings will be, what our social status will be, what our athletic abilities will be, what our spiritual gifting will be, country of our origin, the people around whom we'll be, the societal conditions around us. You decide so many unchangeable things, and we rail at those sometimes when they're just opportunities for us to be humble and just say, oh God, have your way with me. May we not be like Jonah, who had to be swallowed up before he softened his heart. And please grant us the grace to reach out for you and take the time to seek you and find you, though you are not far from any one of us. For in you we live and move and have our being. Thank you this morning for the privilege of time and breath for life and food for sustenance, so we could be here to acknowledge your name and make much of you. Forgive us, Father, for making much of ourselves and doing so many things to try to prop up our own future when you have it all figured out, if we would just turn to you. Please grant us a soft heart as a gift we could give back to you. Help us be discerning so that we can see when the world's trying to flirt with us, to try to draw us away, promising us great things. If only. When it's all a trap. Help us call the enemy a liar when he promises us so much freedom if we'll just do the wrong thing, when all the while he's just opening the door to a prison and then condemns us for our poor choices. Please, Father, have mercy on us and grant us grace to follow you. I pray for anyone here who needs to open their heart to you, that you would help them. For faith is a gift that you give. Waking us from a sinner's sleep is what you do. Oh, Father, have mercy and awaken us to life through Jesus. And alert us, Father, when we choose things other than you to trust in. Please remind us so that we can trust in you, the only true and living God, the only one who can tell the end from the beginning, the only one who knows tomorrow, the only one who truly loves us. Oh, Father, thank you for what you've done through Jesus, so that we could truly be free today, forgiven today, and full of assurance of a secure future. Dear Father, bless us as we go to serve for you. Give us someone that we can talk to explain what it's like to have Jesus as Savior and Lord. And may we have the right words and the right attitude and the right demeanor to share with them. This week, Lord, in Sunday school and in Awana, speak to the little ones and the young ones about their deep need to be saved, to be forgiven, to enter into your family. And help the teachers say those things that should be said to shed light on the little hearts that will listen. Bless us, Father, as we serve. In Jesus' name, I pray. We pray. Amen.